Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our epistle reading from the book of Philippians, and we'll be focusing on this verse. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Paradox. What is a paradox? Paradox, by simple definition, is that there are two seemingly contradictory things, but when put together at the same time, they reveal truth. So, you know, paradox could be, there's one thing I know nothing. How about, I can resist everything but temptation. Here are the rules. There are no rules. I used to think that, paradox was, more like Packers fan, Patriots fan, Raiders fan, but then I realized that I might get, hurt seriously by even saying that. They're not, But you get it, what it is, a paradox, two opposite things, but when you consider them, both of them are true at the same time. Now, every single Sunday that we come to this Sunday, I often wonder, is this Sunday a paradox? What I mean by that is, all right, everybody pick up their palms. You know, you got your palms right there. Yay, wave them. I see no one is doing that. Okay, great. It's Palm Sunday, right? Well, it depends. Some say it's Palm Sunday, but some say it's actually called Sunday of the Passion. We're not supposed to focus on only Jesus riding to Jerusalem. We're supposed to be like, no, we got to look forward into Holy Week and where we're going here. So I'm just like, is this Sunday a paradox? I mean, we have two opposing things, and yet, can they be true at the same time? We all know what Palm Sunday is about, right? It's about palms. Those palms that the crowds were waving as Jesus was entering into Jerusalem. And Jesus enters in Jerusalem. He's not on some big stallion. He doesn't have this huge army behind him. He doesn't enter with this big, huge military might behind him. No, he rides in on a donkey's colt. And he's got this ragtag bunch of disciples following him. You know, he rides in humble. But that doesn't stop the crowds from shouting out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. He's being exalted by the crowds because they're crying out, Hosanna, which means save us. He rides in, exalted by the crowds, because he has come to save everyone. But we know what happens further on in the week, right? Yep. He rides in to waving palm branches, but then the week ends with clenched fists. People are shouting out, Hosanna, at the beginning of the week, but at the end of the week, they're crying out, crucify him. Yeah, Jesus rides in on a donkey's colt, but by the end of the week, he's just hanging on a cross. You know, that thorn, that crown of thorns is pressed into his scalp, and he's got nails just shoved roughly into his hands and into his feet to hold him up on that cross. And there's so, so much blood being shed. And he's up there on the cross, and he's struggling to breathe. And he's actually naked, completely naked, for the whole world to see. What utter humiliation, the lowest of the low. And there's your paradox. Death brings life. Oh yeah, Jesus rides into Jerusalem in order to save everyone, and he saves everyone by dying on a cross, by taking everyone's place, by shedding his blood, by taking away their sin. There's your paradox right there. Jesus is exalted on Palm Sunday, but he is humiliated on Good Friday, but his death brings life to the world. And yet, Palm Sunday, this Sunday, is just one paradox of an entire life of paradox that Jesus lived. Consider our text that we have this morning from Philippians 2. Here Paul, in this kind of ancient hymn here, he actually is describing the humiliation of Jesus. Now, we all know that when we hear, you know, about Jesus and his state of humiliation, oh yeah, we think back to our wonderful catechism days, you know, those steps, you know, dun, 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 you know, as if Jesus, when he's humiliated, he's like progressively becoming more and more humiliated. But here, Paul actually says that his humiliation is this one time poured out for everyone kind of thing. You know, he says, even though he was in the form of God, we all know this, we all confess this, Jesus is God. He has full divine power and majesty, and yet he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He actually just let go of his divine power. He let it go. He didn't even think about holding on to it. And then he says he made himself nothing. He literally emptied himself. He took on human flesh and blood. And as a human being, he became a servant. He became obedient to God the Father, even unto death, even death on a cross, where Jesus is cursed, where he is cut off from God himself. The lowest of the low. But then, Paul goes on in this passage, and he describes Jesus and his exaltation here. Look what he says. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, I just love it. It's just this grand thing, right? And actually, that's what we expect. You know, Jesus, who went down those steps, now he's coming up the step. He's going up the staircase here. You know, is Paul talking about his resurrection? You know, God said, good job, son. Good job for dying on the cross for the sin of the whole world. I'm going to reward you by raising you from the dead after 3 days. Maybe Paul is also including his ascension, right? He ascended into heaven. He now sits at the right hand of the Father in glory. Yeah, okay. Maybe he's even talking about his second coming here, when Jesus will come again visibly for everyone to see, and he will judge the living and the dead. And every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord, that he is God. And Jesus is exalted this way. Make no mistake about that. And we exalt him this way as well. Our knees bow before him. We confess with our tongues that he is Lord. There is nothing wrong with that exaltation. It is true. But here, there is one word that throws everything off, and that is that word, therefore. Therefore. Actually, a better way to translate that word is for this reason. Paul is actually pointing back to the humiliation of Jesus Christ. There is your paradox. Exaltation in humiliation. Oh yeah. Jesus, because he let go of his divine majesty, because he humbled himself and took on human flesh and blood, because he became a servant obedient to God the Father, going even to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, for this reason, all because of this, he is highly exalted. All because of this, every knee will bow before him, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord and he is God. And the good news about all of this is this life of paradox that Jesus lived is yours and mine. Let me explain. On February 28th, 1953, biologist Frederick Hicks, he walked into the Eagle Pub in Cambridge, England, and he proudly declared to all the drinking patrons there, "We have discovered the secret of life." And what was that secret that he and his colleague, James Watson, had discovered that day? You know it. It's called DNA. They had discovered the building blocks of life itself. But what was the secret that they were so excited about? It was not actually the discovery of DNA. It was not that these two had furthered the advancement of understanding our genetic makeup. No. No, actually the secret that he was so excited about, that years later, when he confessed in an interview that it was so beautiful to behold that it had to be true. What was that secret? That DNA is structured on a double helix. Two opposite strands of molecules going away from each other and yet forming a never-ending Mobius strip along one center line. That's the secret of life. And that life is transferred from human being to human being to human being. But see, the secret of life that they discovered, this paradox of DNA, is not only the building blocks of our biological life, it is also the building block of our spiritual life as well. The secret of life in Jesus Christ is a paradox: exaltation in humiliation. You have been exalted higher than anyone else through the humiliation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he made himself nothing. He let go of his divine nature. He became the form of a servant, and he died on a cross to take away your sin, to give you salvation, to give you eternal life. Jesus humbled himself for you in order to exalt you higher than anyone else. He made himself nothing so that you could have everything in his kingdom. He died on the cross to give you eternal life. That's what Jesus does. He takes this lowly, sinful, selfish human being and he lifts you high, exalts you high. As you bear the name of Jesus, as you kneel before him, as you confess his name with your very tongue. And there's the paradox. Your exaltation in Christ produces the deepest humiliation. Look at verse 5. Look what Paul says here. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." This mind. Another translation, ready? This attitude. This entire way that you form your life and look at your life. Have this attitude, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And what is this attitude? It points back. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Life in Jesus Christ is one of the deepest humility. You put others first above yourself. You love others. You serve others with your words, with your deeds, and you never ask for anything in return. Never do that. And you don't do this. You don't live this life to exalt yourself. You don't do this so that you put yourself higher and everyone else is lower and they bow down before you. Oh, look at you. No, you do this so you can exalt Jesus, so you can lift him high up in front of them, so that by your very life, all your words, all your deeds, they fulfill these words. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So there you go. Today is a paradox after all, because it shows the most beautiful truth of Jesus Christ. Death that gives life. Exaltation found in humiliation, and a life of paradox that continues through you and me. Amen.